Hi, everybody. I'm Brian Kilmeade. This is Kilmeade and Friends. Special guest coming our way this hour. Not only Geraldo Rivera is always special and has been since the 70s, and probably earlier if you knew him before he was on television, and Sergeant Leroy Petrie, the Medal of Honor recipient, will be live in our studio. So if you have some questions from the Sergeant, the Army Ranger, about his 6 tours in Afghanistan, 2 in Iraq, and his heroic activities that might be unprecedented, even with our lofty history of our military, well, call 1-866-408-7669. As he works his way up here, let's start going over what's going to happen on Capitol Hill. No meetings today. Even though we're looking at a situation where the debt ceiling has not been lifted, where the Moody's and S&P have both said we will downgrade your credit rating, forcing interest rates higher here across the country and around the world, affecting us, no meetings today. But there are press conferences where two parties talk at each other instead of to each other at 9 a.m. shortly. And actually, right now, I assume Republican congressional leaders are talking. And at 11 o'clock, the president will have his second press conference of the week. Now, first things first, when you talk about lifting the deficit ceiling, the president has couched himself as the adult in the room. And I wanted him to be just that. But it's so obvious he's posing now. If you just look at what he has done and not done leading up to this moment, remember, in February, he releases a budget that is going to add to our deficit to the tune of $10 trillion, $10 billion over the next 12 years. Remember that. And then when Paul Ryan came out with a budget, he called him to a speech where Paul Ryan was vilified for saying that, well, Medicare and Medicaid are going to go belly up, and this is the way he came up with for a way forward. Because as you know, despite what everyone talks about, half of our budget is spent on entitlements before anything else happens, before anybody can say, I want some money for education or some special program, half of that money is already spent. Maybe even up to 60% is spent more. But the president has never really gotten involved like this, and his track record is dicey at best. Then he has a deficit commission come up with a way forward of spending down the $14 trillion of debt. Some of the things he says he liked, some of the things he didn't like. Bottom line is, he hasn't implemented anything. And now we have a fallback plan, which nobody likes. Mitch McConnell has put forward that Republicans have said, I hate it, to the tune of the chairman of the conservative Republican study group, Jim Jordan, I hate it. Tom Rooney of Florida, a Republican congressman, hates it. Tim Scott, McConnell plan is not a plan at all. Colonel West over in Florida, that dog doesn't hunt. So they don't like anything about it. John Boehner says he can't get a hold of where the president stands.
We don't even have a number. As I said yesterday, it's like dealing with Jell-O. It just keeps wobbling everywhere. Senator McConnell described this as a last-ditch effort. No one wants the federal government to walk away from its obligations. No one wants the federal government to default. And as Mitch McConnell said, his proposal was a last-ditch effort if we couldn't come to an agreement. It is not my preferred option.
Well, and that is where we're at right now. They're locked in a verbal battle. But joining us right now is somebody who has been in a lot of physical battles because he has 6 tours in Afghanistan, 2 in Iraq, and was just the recipient officially of the Medal of Honor. Sergeant Leroy Petrie, welcome to our studios here on Kilmeade and Friends.
Oh, well, thank you for having me here.
Well, it's just an honor to meet you. I've read all about you and then seeing you at the White House this week. Now, I thought just instinctively that for this to happen with the White House schedule so thick, that you might have known way ahead of time that you were going to be the recipient of this Medal of Honor. How did you find out?
I got a call from President Obama. I want to say it was probably about 3 weeks earlier, and I was at home with my wife. It was a great conversation.
Right? Did he call directly, or did he say hold on for the president?
Well, there was one lady that came on. She connected me. She said the next person you'll hear, kind of thing, be the president, and he came on right away.
And what did he say?
He said, Leroy. And I said, yes, Mr. President. And he went through. He said, based on the recommendation, Secretary of the Army, Secretary of Defense, I'm going to approve the Medal of Honor, and I'd like to welcome you and your family to the White House to receive it. And we just had a little conversation after that. It was pretty good, and I told him to thank Michelle Obama for all she's doing for our troops, families, mm-hmm. and
Which she has. That's been one of her causes when she when she got in there. You've been, as I mentioned, six tours in Afghanistan. How many months does that add up to? Well, we've been there 10 years now.
Oh, wow.
When did you first get there?
The first time there was in 2002. And going back every rotation is just great, seeing the positive impact that we're doing over there.
Right. And when did this incident happen?
This one happened in 2008.
In 2008.
Memorial Day, May 26, 2008.
And I know you've been asked to do this, but I was wondering, can you bring us through that day? When did you become on? When did you start going under fire?
We took contact right off the helicopters. There was we were taking contact, and then going into the compound, the volume fire slowed down. We were moving around. I guess they must have been tucked away, the enemy, and it was quite wild. The guys went in, they were clearing a building. I was waiting for a guy so I could back clear the courtyard, and that's when PFC Robinson came in. We started going across the courtyard, and I saw the guys about out of my peripheral vision, 10 to 15 feet. They were shooting AK-47s from their about chest, hip height, and I got hit in the thigh. I thought it stuck into my left leg, and so I kept running, and Robinson got hit behind me, and he followed me. And
you kept running with a bullet that went through your thigh?
Yeah, it actually went through my left thigh, out the inner left thigh, in the right thigh, out the right thigh. So it was a through and through both thighs.
And did the adrenaline prevent the pain from overwhelming you?
I think so, because I felt the first initial shock, which felt like a hammer, and then I didn't feel anything after that. Oh. And it was just the adrenaline, I think.
And so you got across that courtyard?
Yes.
And so then what did you do? You went for cover?
I immediately grabbed a thermal barrack grenade and engaged the enemy with it. That went off. I was checking on PFC Robinson, telling him, hey, start doing self-aid, keep pulling security, because there was still an intense amount of volume of fire coming around the corner. And calling up to my higher command, letting them know what the situation was and that we needed more guys in our area.
So higher command, which were not in the battle scene. The higher command is away.
No. My PL and platoon sergeant were attending to other courtyards and building target buildings. So
okay. So this is a relatively big compound.
Yes.
What I'd like to do when we get back is talk about how this whole thing culminated and what you did. And right there, doing what you did with the bullet through both your thighs is incredible. But what happened next, you're not going to believe. And we'll take some phone calls. 1-866-408-7669. It's our privilege to have with us Army Ranger Sergeant Leroy Petrie here, Medal of Honor recipient. Back with him right after this.
Coming to you on a need-to-know basis, because, man, do you need to know. It's Kilmeade and Friends.
As he lay in a stretcher being loaded onto a helicopter, one of his teammates came up to shake the hand that Leroy had left. That was the first time I shook the hand of someone who I considered to be a true American hero. As he lay in a stretcher being loaded onto a helicopter, one of his teammates came up to shake the hand that Leroy had left.
All right, joining us in studio, you just heard the President of the United States introduce him or talk about what he did to become a Medal of Honor recipient. Sergeant Leroy Petrie is in our studio. So I kind of left everyone hanging. And just on the incident, you took a bullet that went through both your thighs during a battle in Afghanistan. But it wasn't over after that.
No, we were still being engaged. There was three of us behind what we call a chicken coop. It was a small building. And the events took place were just that. I was still controlling my younger guys to my right, telling them to do self-aid and pull security. And I was pulling security on the left side, calling up on the radio to my platoon leader and platoon sergeant, keeping them informed of the situation.
Right.
And as I looked back to the right to check on my guys, there's a grenade sitting there. It's a old pineapple. It's a pineapple grenade, so I knew it wasn't one of ours. And I knew immediately that it would kill or injure us traumatically, so I grabbed it and attempt to get it away from my guys and myself. I threw it, and as I was lunging to throw it, as soon as I opened my hand, it exploded, and I sat back up with a severed at the wrist, just completely, the hand just wow. completely came off.
And what is it like looking at that? I can't even imagine.
I could explain it because I remember it so vividly. It was I sat up, grabbed my wrist, and I could see a meat skirt, so to speak, hanging around the edges with the radius and the ulna poking up about half inch and just oozing blood and the burns and the smell of explosives. And
you're seeing this, and the pain?
No pain. I don't know why, but a lot of adrenaline, and because it was a traumatic injury, I think if I had sat on it longer or looked at it longer, I would have started going into pain. But I didn't want to go into shock because I had my younger guys I had to lead. So I looked at it. I was waiting for, wondering why there wasn't a Hollywood spurt going in the air. And for a split second, and then I realized, go back to your training, get your tourniquet, applied a tourniquet, called it up on the radio, and started working with my guys again. And
with one hand?
Yes.
So you shut it, and you were able to do that for how much longer?
It seemed like another 10, 15, no, about 10 minutes.
And then you were on a stretcher and you're back.
Yes. One of my leaders came up to me and tried to grab me on, pick me up. And he said, come on, we're going to get you out of here. I said, you're not taking me anywhere until you kill those guys back there that are shooting and engaging us with hand grenades. And knowing that we fight the fight first and come back for our wounded, he saw that I was coherent. So he went, left me. I ended up grabbing onto one of the guys that was next to me, Sergeant Higgins, and my platoon sergeant, Sergeant Steidel, and we actually somewhat jogged over to the medics.
It's incredible as you look back at that. Now, you were on our show on Fox and Friends this morning, and you had your whole family there.
Yes.
Now, your family's been having to hear this. They're worried about their dad anyway, who's serving since 2002, almost in active battle, six times over, two times. Have you talked to them about what this has been like for them?
We have. We've talked about it, and they've made a lot of accommodations. I know they're having to help me out a lot more at home, or I ask them for help a lot more. So it's my wife said it was the worst day of her life when they came and told her. It was fun, though. I mean, I tried to make it as – it was easy for me because I know that saving the guys next to me was the most important thing at that moment. So – they knew what the military means to me. And
you joined, you told me that you joined, you wanted to, even though you were a little kid, you always wanted to join the military. Before 9/11, you were in.
I was in.
You were in Ranger School?
I was active duty. I was, I joined in 1999, September, and I was in pre-Ranger at the Ranger Regiment during 9/11. We were out in the field when we got the word about the Twin Towers, the Pentagon, and whatnot, and they were watching it on a TV out in the field, the instructors. They had told us about it, and we said, hey, can we come in and watch? And they said, no, get your butts back out there because you'd probably be going to war soon.
And you were.
Little did we know around the corner.
You know, you told us you want to go back.
I do.
Right. But, you know, most people who call the show worry about, because we keep asking you guys to go back and back and back and back. What's your message to the American people about that?
I want to go back because every trip that I go back, I love going back because I see the positive impact that we're doing overseas, the roads being built, the support of the community, the schools, everything. I mean, it's not only the bad, but you see all the good that you don't hear about unless you've been there.
And we do hear about it because we're privileged to have a lot of people here in the military who could pick up the phone and call into the battlefield, and we understand that. And I wish more people did. Sergeant First Class Leroy Petrie is here. He received the Medal of Honor on July 12th. But more important for now, you're with us telling your story. Now your son is 17, and he indicates that maybe he's looking to go into the military?
Yes.
What would that? How would you feel about that?
I'd be proud. I'd love it. I mean, I love our country. I love the fact that there's so many women and children, or women and men, that go and fight for our Constitution and our way of life. And to have him do that, I'd be honored.
Well, I imagine too, and very impressive young man, I might add. But when you talk about you personally, you say you want to go back, but right now you're dealing with very sophisticated, but you're dealing with a prosthesis for a right arm. Is there a role for you in the military, in battle?
I went out on a combat mission. Maybe not as a I myself would hold myself back from being in a leadership position in battle, but I would be there to assist, and I could go as a as another hand, so to speak.
Right. if you go to do that, going home now, did you have a hard time getting back into regular home life after being in the battle so often, so many years, so many months?
You take so many adjustments. Just you start, my wife and kids had a way of doing stuff, and then when I come home, it's, hey, you're not doing that anymore. And they're like, why? Well, that's what we always did. So we pushed and shoved a little bit, but it was pretty good.
But, you know, what should the American people know about what the men and women need who fight when they come back? Like, what is not being communicated effectively to the American people?
I think the best thing you could give a soldier that's coming back is a simple thank you. That's the greatest reward we get, and it means the most to us.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it's also important to get the message out that you're not out there just shooting? I mean, you're going into towns, you're meeting people, you're helping them out. Can you describe some of the humanitarian stuff you guys are asked to do?
Our unit ourselves, we don't do so much, but I've seen so much of it done over there that it's just it's amazing. The medical field, they set up and bring a lot of the community sick and ill and injured, and they'll help them.
You know, read about what the Russians did in Afghanistan. They steamrolled the place. They just wiped it out, looked to take it over. Do you think the Afghani people fully understand the difference between the nations and the mandate and from what we're trying to do?
I think for a lot of the population, they do understand, and you see all the positive impacts. I mean, I went over there the first time thinking, oh, it's a third world country. And now going back over there, I'm saying, wow, this place is starting to develop pretty well.
Right. Are you optimistic about our way forward there? In a way in which you might have not felt that way in 2004, 2005?
I don't really. I mean, as long as they keep telling me you want to go back there, there's work to be done there, I go back.
Right. What was it like when you heard Bin Laden was taken out?
For me, I thought, hey, there's still going to be another guy that's going to come in, and there's still going to be bad guys to chase. I'm glad we got him. I hope that it brought some closure and comfort to those who lost friends and family that day of the attacks.
Well, he's out fighting the good fight every day he can, and he's a true American hero. We knew that before you got that medal around your neck. Sergeant First Class Leroy Petrie received the Medal of Honor, and you were kind enough to come in our studio and give us a great half hour. It was great meeting your family today.
Thank you again for having me here.
And thank you for your service and fighting the good fight.
Thank you,
Sergeant. All right, back with more Geraldo Rivera, Kill Me to Friends, right after this.
It's Kill Me and Friends on Fox News Talk.